outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
Monday, December 25th, 2023, and you are listening to today's Christmas morning edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks, and a very Merry Christmas to all of you out there, all of you who, in whatever way, you view the person of Jesus Christ, whether as a Christian, whether as a Muslim, even atheists. I've known atheists over the years, folks, who nevertheless are able to muster some degree of reverence and respect for this person known as Jesus Christ. And it's a very interesting thing, a very interesting conversation to have with people like this who are professed atheists, and yet they still have a positive image and a positive opinion of this person known as Jesus Christ. And he features as the discussion today, folks, is we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, not necessarily in a religious sense, but rather in the sense that I think is required for the days that we're living in right now. And I mean right now with what is going on with this biblical war that is taking place today in Gaza. Tomorrow it will be Lebanon, and it will move on and on and on until literally it has covered every square inch of the known world, folks, because what we're dealing with here are people who have been nursing this hatred for the rest of us, for the rest of the Gentile world, for over 3,000 years. As I've said on previous programs, thousands of years before any of us were ever born, before we ever took our first breath, before we ever took our first step, we were born with a noose around our necks, with a knife to our throat, and with a gun to our head. And this is the thing, unfortunately, folks, that far too people understand. And it's, I received a few emails from some of the listeners after the latest broadcast that I did. And they said, you know, it's hard to miss the frustration in your voice. And yes, folks, it is a very frustrating thing because it is such a simple issue to understand. You don't have to have degrees in theology or in political science or history or any of these things. You take the most unintelligent animal in the world, such as a sheep, and I know this for a fact, folks, because I happen to be a sheep herder. I raise sheep. And I can tell you, having raised them for 20 plus years, that they are the most unintelligent animals in the world. It's funny at times to see them do the things that they do. You can open a gate for them that they've come in and out of 1,000 times and walk down the line of the gate with a bucket of food or something like that, and they'll follow you on the other side of the fence. Even though they know that the gate is open, they'll follow you while you're carrying the food. They don't have the common sense necessary to go through that gate that they have gone through 1,000 times in order to get the food that you have for them. You can take the most unintelligent animal in the world, such as the sheep, and yet they know. They know when they see a predator such as a dog or a coyote or a wolf or something like that, they know to run away. They know that their lives are in danger. The predator doesn't have to be running towards them. They just simply see that predator, and their brains tell them that they're in danger. Likewise with birds, folks, not particularly the smartest creatures in the world. But yet, if you have a bird sitting in a tree, you know, in its nest or on a branch, and it sees this cat crawling up the tree towards him, that bird will fly away because he knows that his or her life is in danger. And so, therefore, it is a very frustrating thing, folks, to deal with this, because as we point out on the website on a daily basis, as we have for many, many years, understanding these things that are taking place right now, it's really, really simple. As I said many times to a very good friend of mine, it's like pouring water out of a boot with the directions on the heel. You just can't not get it right. And yet we have these people out there who simply refuse to get it right, folks. They simply refuse to accept the simplicity of all of this. And instead, they have to make it much more complicated than it needs to be. And in the process, all of these innocent people, as we see taking place right now, are losing their lives in the most horrific manner. So today, folks, in the most simplistic way possible, we're going to be talking about this person known as Jesus Christ, which obviously is relevant given that today is Christmas, the day that that we believers in Jesus Christ celebrate the day that he was born. It's a beautiful day here, folks. I think that this is providential that I'm doing the program now, is that the sun is coming up, up here in the Pacific Northwest where I happen to live. Usually it's just horrible weather up here beginning in the 1st of November, and it doesn't end until around the beginning of March. But it is just a beautiful, crisp, sunny morning with not a cloud in the sky. We have some snow on the ground, and it's really a beautiful sight up here where I live. When you have snow on the mountains and you have a sunny day, it really is just stunning to see this. And it's a good reminder, folks, that no matter what is going on in the world, no matter how evil things are, that nature just keeps on going. She keeps on rolling. And that, you know, for me, folks, is the proof of God's will, is when you look at nature. That is the clearest proof of God's existence. It's the clearest proof of what God wants, because no matter what human beings do, Mother Nature always has the last say in things. And it's for that reason that I don't, consider myself necessarily a religious person, folks. Yes, I grew up with heavy Catholic teaching on things, because, you know, what came from that is that first and foremost, I came to understand that this person known as Jesus Christ and the things that he taught, but also, you know, the do's and the don'ts, the thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's, particularly with regards to life and marriage and things like that. Life being, of course, children, unborn children. But at the same time, I also see how, unfortunately, even my own, the religion in which I was raised in, how it at times has paralyzed its followers from seeing the picture in the simplicity as it exists with regards to this eternal menace that has been stalking the Gentile world now since the days of Cain and Abel, and which seeks our destruction. Now, I've been having some very profound conversations in the last week or so with my three closest friends, and talking about all of this business that's going on in Gaza, and just how unprecedentedly horrible it is, and how people are just not getting it. You know, two of my friends are here in the United States, and one of them happens to be in Rome. And they tell me about the conversations that they have with the people around them and the conversations that they hear, and how there really is just no concern, there's no indigestion, there's no outrage, there's no awareness of what's going on. And in the course of these conversations that I have had with these friends of mine, I told them, I said, well, here's the good news and here's the bad news. The bad news is that everything is falling apart for all of us. The good news is that everything is falling apart for all of us. Now, I know that that sounds kind of strange, ladies and gentlemen, but it was actually Jesus himself who said this when he was talking about these days that we would find ourselves living in right now, where he described all of these horrible things that were going to happen. And he said, but when you see all of these things take place, look upwards towards heaven with gratitude, for the day of your redemption, of your salvation, is drawing near. And that's true, folks. The good news of today, in the midst of all of this horrible news that's taking place right now, is that it's all going to come to an end, and possibly a lot sooner than any of us realize. The carnage that is taking place right now in Gaza, the carnage that will be starting soon in Lebanon and Syria and Jordan, Egypt, and then on and on and on throughout the rest of the world, it is going to be brought to an end. And we know that this is going to happen, or at least I do, because this is what Jesus himself said would happen. Now, I'll tell you, folks, I'm not one of these people who believes in a lot of prophecy or prophetic things. Especially any of the garbage coming out of the Old Testament, because in my studies, what I have come to understand is that all of these quote-unquote prophecies that have been given by these Hebraic authors of these various books in the Old Testament, they aren't prophecies as much as they are death curses against the rest of us, okay? I think I talked about this on one of the previous programs. Stephen King wrote this novel called The Stand, and in the book there is this character, a very disturbed, dark character named Harold Lauder. And he has got it in for all of these people in his company who he believes have wronged him throughout his life. And so he writes everything down in this diary of his, this journal. He talks about how much he hates them and how much the day of retribution is coming, where he's going to avenge himself against them for what they've done to him. And then in the story, of course, he does make good on this. He finds out that all of these folks are going to be gathering in a home, and so he places dynamite in the house and he blows the house up, kills several people. And this is how I see all of these prophecies that exist within that time period pre-Jesus Christ. I don't think that they are anything except promises and curses that they, promises of death and revenge and curses that they have leveled against all of us Gentiles, because things just haven't worked out for them the way that they have wanted it to work out. And these people, folks, whether we want to call them Hebrews or Judites or Judeans or whatever, okay, whatever combination of vowels and consonants that we want to use in describing who they are, okay, as I said, they have been stalking us for over 3,000 years. And rather than looking at history and looking at all the times that their plans against us in creating this state, this theocratic state, that they believe is going to rule the world with them at the epicenter of all human activity, you know, all of the times that they've tried to do this and it hasn't materialized, it has come crumbling down. You would think that they would learn something from this and that they would recalibrate their understanding of their creator, their God, their deity, whatever, and to say, you know, maybe we're on the wrong road here. Maybe we're on the wrong path. Maybe we aren't Yahweh's chosen people. Maybe we aren't destined to rule the world and to own everybody and all the wealth of the world. You know, all of these prophecies that we've talked about on this program, folks, about all the wealth of the Gentiles being brought to them and laid at their feet. They don't learn from this. And I think, folks, it's because it's like somebody who's got an addiction problem, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or something like that. And they know that it's doing harm to them, but they just can't quit. They can't let go of it. And I think that that in the final analysis, once someone has gone down the road, either an individual or a group of them, they have gone down the road of worshiping themselves and placing themselves on this pedestal above everyone else, that they can't let go of that. They just can't let go of the idea of their divinity, their royalty, their betterness, their chosenness, whatever we want to call it. Now, let's see, that was a rather long-winded way of saying that I don't believe in prophecy, but I do believe in the words of Jesus, folks. I do. One set of prophecies to which I do give a great deal of my own credibility are in the words of Jesus. And when he is talking about these days that we're living in now, talks about how horrible they will be. In fact, what he says, folks, is that if these days were not shortened, that no flesh would survive. And he says that there will be suffering that has never been seen before, and it will never be equaled again. Now, I have to point that out, folks, because there are some people who interpret Jesus's prophecies in this regard to talk about the coming destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. And certainly there are elements that can be assigned to that, okay? And we're going to hear about that. You know, let's see, folks, I have to turn the heater up here for just a moment here. Hold on. My apologies, that was very unprofessional of me, but then again, folks, I'm not necessarily a professional at this. I just do this because I have something to say that I think the world needs to hear, and I do it in my own way. Anyway, there are those who believe that this prophecy that we're going to be listening to, folks, that it talks all about what happened when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem. And, of course, there are parallels to that. I mean, you can see a lot of this stuff that that Jesus talked about. It did happen when the Romans came in as God's instrument in saving the world, folks, saving the entire world. Because we can all imagine what a mess the world would be in today if this radioactive element of humanity, if they had not been brought low in the manner that they were in 70 AD, the last 2,000 years would be a completely different, the world that we live in now would be a complete, if any of us indeed were left alive, would be a completely different case had it not been for the actions of the Romans in 70 AD. Now, having said that, like I said, I do believe that this particular prophecy that Jesus left us, found specifically as far as today's program goes in Matthew chapter 24, that yes, it could very well have been talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, But it also, I believe, paints a picture of what we are dealing with today. And the reason that I say that is because, as I just said a few moments ago, folks, Jesus said, hold on, I have to text my friend here. Let's see. Doing the program now, dearest. Okay. Hold on, folks. Talk soon. Anyway, when he said that this period would see suffering that has never been experienced before and will never be equaled again. Okay. Now, some of you are thinking to yourselves, well, where is all the good news in all of this? Well, folks, as you're going to hear in this this reading, this gospel reading here, Jesus talks about the elect, talks about those who, for their sake, these days are going to be shortened. Now, there are a lot of different, you know, depending on who you talk to, folks, there really is very little talk about who the elect may be. Now, however, when we understand the totality of Jesus Christ, not just the nice guy Jesus, not just the nice guy who healed the sick and he fed the hungry and he did all of these things, but the warrior Jesus as well. The warrior who came and gave his life in order to warn the world about this particularly dangerous subspecies of semi-humanoid people in his midst. Now, I say that, folks, because it was Jesus himself who referred to these people as a brood of vipers. Now, this is important in and of itself because when we're talking, you know, the first thing that should come to mind for any of us who understand the whole story of Jesus Christ is that when we hear that word viper, is that we think back to the very first book of the Jews' Torah, and talking about how the snake came into human affairs and the manner in which it destroyed everything, destroyed what the Creator's plans had been as far as human existence was concerned. And he doesn't just call them a den of vipers, he calls them a brood of vipers. And brood means children, folks. Children of vipers. Jesus also referred to them as children of their father, the devil. And I think that obviously Jesus spoke in a lot of parables, he used a lot of symbolism and things like that. But I believe now, folks, that in this one case, he was actually speaking literally. He was not speaking figuratively. And I think he chose to use this very literal language in order to warn all of humanity for all time what the nature of these people was. And we're watching it play out right now, folks. We're watching it play out right now with the absolutely horrific carnage that is taking place and the fact that there's very little outrage on the part of the rest of the world. Yes, there are articles and op-eds that are written, and of course the media outlets in the region are covering what's going on. But just think back to what happened when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait 30 plus years ago, and how outraged the world was. And George H.W. Bush said, you know, we cannot allow this aggression to stand. And sent over, I don't know, a million or so American troops. There was this international coalition, and war was started, even though very few people relative to how many have been killed in the last 2 months. Very few people were killed. Nevertheless, we got this world war started over that. And then, of course, it picked up again 10 years later, after 9/11. So when the world decides that it's going to do something about aggression and about, a dangerous leader or a dangerous country, that's hell-bent upon bloodshed. The world can do it, and yet the world isn't. And I don't think that the world will, folks. I don't think that the world will. And I think that this is why it is going to take nothing but a divine act to bring an end to it. And I think that this is exactly what Jesus was talking about, as you're going to hear in a moment, when he talks about, you know, lest these days be shortened, no flesh would survive. Anyway, folks, when we're talking about the elect, for whom all of this carnage will be stopped, we're talking about the people of Palestine and the other people in the region who are on the front lines battling this brood of vipers, these children of the devil. And in doing that, folks, I mean, let's face it, you know, we have our own problems, especially here in the West. Our civilization, our culture has completely gone to the dogs. We have a functioning infrastructure in that, you know, we have running water and warm, comfortable homes and things like that. But as far as the soul of our nations go, the soul of our civilization, it's gone. It's rotted out. Nevertheless, we can all imagine how much further along in our leprosy, okay, if we want to put it in those terms, how much further along in our cultural leprosy that we would be right now were it not for the fact that our enemies have had to divide their forces and divide their resources dealing with the people in the Middle East, okay? Principally, folks, the Muslims, okay? They are the ones who are on the front lines battling these people, giving their lives doing it, okay, being blown to bits, as you are finding out now if you read the news stories of what's taking place. Okay, so anybody out there who tells you that Islam is your enemy and the Muslims are out to destroy, you know, Western Christian civilization, these are the false prophets that Jesus warned us would be coming. Yes, folks, all of this carnage, all of this is going to come to an end. And it's going to be because of the elect that this takes place. But we have to know, going into this and enduring all of this, that the elect for whom all of this will be stopped are those people right now enduring all of this in Palestine and in Lebanon to come and Syria to come. Jordan, Egypt, Iran, all of these countries that the Jews intend to destroy as part of their religious commandment in taking over everything between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers. They are the ones, just as Jesus gave his life, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross in order to show the world the truly bloodthirsty and barbaric nature of these people who call themselves Hebrews, Israelites, Judites, Judeans, Jews, whatever. Yes, folks, that was the reason for his being willing to endure the horrible suffering of what he endured, was to have this exist as a model for all time, to let people know what kind of creatures that we're dealing with. Okay, so folks, our one soundbite today, I want to try and keep this program as short as possible because with the sun coming up, my children are going to be getting up soon and I don't want to miss out on Christmas with them. And quite frankly, I don't want to take too much of your time on Christmas Day either. I want you to be able to spend as much of it as possible with your loved ones. So we're going to try to keep this one short and sweet as opposed to some of the recent programs that have gone on for over an hour, and I think one of them was actually 2 hours. But anyway, our one soundbite today is going to be from the chapter, 24th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus is talking about all of these things, and then after that, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about it. Now, folks, I realize there's a little bit of the sound bite that you're going to hear. It's got this background music in it and all the rest of that, but it's still, I think it has, at least for me, it has a very powerful sobering effect, and it adds to the solemnity of the discussion that's taking place. So let's just sit back here and listen.
Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, 'There he is, out in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Here he is, in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away."
Okay, folks, so that is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And I realize it is, you know, with that background music, it's a little, I don't know, hokey or something like that. But nevertheless, folks, very profound words, and I think that anybody who has been following, especially everything that is happening, has been happening since October 7th, that you can see very strong parallels to what's going on. And I say this again, folks, as a message of hope, that all of this is going to come to an end. It is going to come crashing down. What we're all going to have to go through before that time, however, before that event does take place where everything comes crashing down, is going to be horrible. And, you know, this is the conversation that I was having with these three friends of mine, the three amigos, because they have told me their feelings of hopelessness, that they want to do something, you know, and they feel guilty that they can't do something to bring an end to all of this. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, when Jesus said, for the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened, okay? As much as we have, obviously, on the front lines of all of this, the Palestinians who are giving their lives every day, having their lives taken from them by this brood of vipers, as Jesus described them, it's also those who are suffering mentally and spiritually, knowing that this is taking place, okay? None of us who follow this, you know, this hasn't made our lives better. It doesn't add to our peace of mind. It robs us of our peace of mind. It robs us of our sleep. And that suffering that we go through, as, you know, small as it is, nevertheless, folks, that suffering that we go through is added to that cup of suffering. And as Jesus has predicted, once that cup is full, once the woman who is riding on top of this beast and who is described as having made the nations drunk on the blood of all of the saints that she has killed, we know who that woman is, folks. It is the state of Israel. It is, and the beast that she is riding on is this system that the Jews have created, this system of murder and mayhem and chaos and just everything around us, whether it's in the Middle East or whether it's in anywhere in the world where they have any influence or control. It says that once the cup is full, then at that point, for the sake of the elect, these days are going to be brought to an end. And on that note, folks, we should be praying earnestly for catastrophe, for disaster in our own countries. And the reason that I say that is because our own countries, especially our countries in the West, they're not going to do what needs to be done to bring this to an end. The only way that this is going to come to an end is when these countries in the world who have turned a blind eye to all of this, or who have supported it, as in this country, my country, the United States. You know, it's Christmas morning, folks, and we can all imagine what kinds of conversations are taking place in the thousands, tens of thousands of churches across America. If there's any discussion taking place about this carnage taking place in Gaza, it's being done, it's taking place within the atmosphere of support for it. So the only thing that is going to bring an end to all of this is going to be some type of catastrophe that is going to befall these nations that have loosed this beast upon the world by bringing this thing back from the dead a century ago. And so what I'm saying here, folks, is that if calamity is the only thing, disaster, if this is the only thing that is going to wake these nations of the world up and to make them understand what an evil thing they are involved in, then let it happen. Pray for that catastrophe. Pray for that calamity. Pray for that disaster. Because if not, folks, no flesh will survive. As I said, folks, I want to keep this short today, so we are sitting at 38 minutes. That's just about long enough. I apologize for the absence. I've just been an extremely busy individual, and quite frankly, folks, it really is hard to come in here and to try to have this conversation. You know, there's only so many times that you can talk about the carnage taking place. And again, this goes back to what I was saying before about how frustrating it is, because it is such a simple issue to understand. Such a simple issue to understand. This is a biblical war. Netanyahu himself made this fact clear when he made his statement about Amalek a month or so ago. That should be the number one discussion on everyone's lips that is opposed to this. And yet, folks, if you go through and you read the anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian, anti-war press, on any given day, sad to say, there's only really one website that you're going to find that there is this mention of it being a biblical war. And unfortunately, like I said, it is the website right here. They will repeat ad nauseum all of the propaganda about 1,200 Jews being killed by Hamas. They will talk about all of these things, but they won't mention, they will not remind the readers that this is a biblical war. Netanyahu made that fact crystal clear himself. That's the most powerful weapon that they have been given in years. And if the world were made aware of the fact that this is a biblical war and that the Jews are doing all of this because this is what their religion commands them to do, then the nations of the world might reevaluate their support for all of this and to say, look, these people who are engaged in this jihad, they're doing the same thing to us. They do it to us in a different manner. They're not dropping bombs in our homes, but they're destroying our civilization, our cultures, our morals, our politics. If people would bother to have that conversation, folks, we'd be a lot further along than we are right now in all of this, and with better chances for surviving it. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Again, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, and may this coming year be the year that the Gentiles get their stuff together and they do what's necessary in order to get this rope off of our neck, to get this knife away from our throat, this gun away from our head, and to understand that if you are a believer or a follower of the person of Jesus Christ, that there was another side to him. Yes, there was the nice guy who fed the hungry and healed the sick and rose the dead, but there was also the warrior Jesus, who couldn't have been more clear in his warnings about the nature of this monster that all of us face, brood of vipers, children of their father the devil. This is the message. Hopefully, if Gentiles will take this message to heart in the coming year, that this will be the year that we can finally say that we have put an end to this eternal menace. Merry Christmas, folks. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay sharp, and let's all pray for you.